Good morning, IBC. Let's talk some physics today. The idea that the universe had a beginning is a profoundly Christian concept with significant implications. A beginning of the universe implies that there was no universe before the beginning, and time does not extend indefinitely into the past. It also implies that things are running downhill and that time will extend indefinitely into the future. A beginning implies an end. The very existence of the universe is an enormous problem for modern physics. The first and foremost law of physics is that matter and energy can neither be created nor destroyed. This is called the principle of the conservation of energy. Yet the universe is full of both. Atheists are therefore forced to believe that nothing somehow turned into everything, which violates the most basic law of science. The second law of thermodynamics states that every process results in a loss of usable energy. Hot always flows to cold. Natural processes tend towards increasing randomness. Thus, if the universe were infinitely old, there could be no usable energy left, and everything would be a uniform temperature and evenly dispersed. The universe cannot possibly have been in existence for eternity. Since the universe cannot be eternal and it cannot have made itself, the only logical conclusion is that something outside of the universe made the universe, and that is God. In summary, the universe had a recent beginning. It cannot be infinitely old, and a creator must exist. Furthermore, it is this creator, not the universe, which is eternal. And there will be an end, a wrapping up of time in this current physical universe. Psalm 48, verse 14 says, "For this is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Thank you.
Appreciate that. Well, now, as I said, we have Brother Casey with us, Casey and his wife, Christina. It's good to have you back. It's been a while. When was the last time you were at IBC? Was it before 2020, or was it so long? Okay, well, I'm glad to have you back. We need to see your face once in a while. And I'd like to invite Casey up to come and also introduce your guest that you brought with us this morning, if you would. Let's welcome Brother Casey Wong.
Is it better now?
Yep.
Okay. It's good to be back in church. And I see a lot of new faces. And maybe a little later I'll introduce myself and my wife. But I must introduce this couple that we brought to the church this morning. It's Gabriel and Judy. Yeah, you can take off your mask a little bit so that when it's... Gabriel and Judy are currently in their final year in East West College. For those of us who know where it is actually a missionary college down at Gordonton in Hamilton. And they are finishing their studies this year and are planning to go to the Muslim world. And a lot of us are really, you know, have been praying for the Muslims. And here we have a couple who is going to be going to the Muslim world. So please remember them in your prayers and pray that God will guide them in the steps ahead. So yeah, say hi to them afterwards with your mask on, because the college just has someone just had someone last night who tested positive. So yeah, so if you want to get to know them and yet do not want to catch COVID, put your mask on, all right, when you say hello. Yeah, so it is really good. It's really good to be back. For those of you who do not know us, this is actually our church. We came here 20 years ago and knew some of these people 20 years ago. And wow, how time has flown by. Chandra was very young then. Chandra was still praying, you know, about her marriage partner. And lo and behold, you know, she's got big children now. Yeah, but how time has come and gone. But it is indeed good that we are able to be here. Christina and I, together with our two children, Nigel and Natalie, were from Singapore originally. We emigrated to New Zealand about 20 years ago, and we served in our church here, and because of various reasons, 2 years ago we came back, and we have been serving with OMF still after coming back. And the reason why we are not back in church that often is because we are always in Chinese churches talking about missions. So it is indeed, it's been a long time since I preached in English. So if the words don't come out, do excuse me. The message that I have for us this morning is just a two-word heading. It's called One Thing. And for those of us who are actually familiar with these two words, you will find that in the Bible, these two words actually appear together not more than five times. And this morning, I want to refer to four of those occasions when these two words are used. And before we go on, maybe we should just flip to those four passages that we are going to be referring to this morning so that we can get an idea as to what exactly it is that on these four occasions, you know, these two words were being referred to. The first place is in John. Well, I don't know whether, it's flashed out on the screen. In John chapter 9, verse 25, this is the blind man saying, he answered and said, whether he is a sinner, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. This is the blind man stating that the one thing he knows is that he was once blind, but now he sees. And the second passage that we have is taken from Psalm chapter 27. We look at verse 4. And here, verse 4, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And for those of us who are familiar with the Bible, you will discover that this is David's one thing. The one thing that David desires is to be in the house of the Lord forever. And the third one thing that I want to refer to this morning is taken from Mark chapter 10, verse 21. And of course, when I read these passages later on, I'll try and put it into context. In Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says, then Jesus, looking at him, this is the rich young ruler, he loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And the fourth and the last one thing that I'll be referring to this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 3. We will read from verse 13 to 14. Verse 13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are familiar, you will know that this one thing is Paul's. Okay, it's Paul's one thing. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you for this morning that we are able to come together as one people, as a family to worship you. And Father, I pray that this morning not only are we going to be worshiping you with our songs, but Lord, we are going to be worshiping you with our hearts. So Father, we ask that this morning you open our eyes, open our hearts to you once again, and help us see these one thing that four people referred to, and to understand what they are, and to see how it must apply to our lives. So Father, we just ask that your Spirit be with us, and that your Spirit will once again speak to us and open our hearts to what you would have us hear this morning. Amen. There was something I wanted to say before I read the passages, actually. I just want to say that IBC is so blessed. Because you guys have got a wonderful worship team. Do you realize that? I've been to so many churches, and none of them match up. And when the music was playing, you know, it conjures up the times when we were in church. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful singing team. And we just pray that the Lord will use us. The Lord will use us. One thing. You know, the first one thing that we read was from John chapter 9, verse 25. And for those of us who are not familiar with John chapter 9, you'll discover that one thing is mentioned by this blind man, you know, who Jesus healed on the Sabbath. You know, and the Pharisees will have no end to it because Jesus performed a miracle during Sabbath. You know, this was a no-no as far as the Pharisees were concerned. So they hauled up this blind man and asked him whether it was true. They investigated the whole thing and asked him all sorts of questions. Were you born blind? Were you the man who has been blind all this while? And after that, they hauled up his parents and went over and over and over the whole investigation. And in verse 25, this blind man finally came before God, came before the Pharisees. And the blind man said, please don't ask me so many questions. Please, I've had enough. But one thing I can tell you, I once was blind, but now I see. You know, very often we will read this passage, we will read this verse, and you know, it will just pass us by. But you know, as I look further at this verse, I discovered that this verse is actually crucial for a Christian. You know, for all of us who profess to be Christians, we must all understand what this blind man is saying. I once was blind, but now I see. You know, this is a discovery that all Christians are to have. I don't know how long we have been Christians, but did you know that once you were blind? And do you know that now you actually see? But if you don't, then maybe there's some issues with our lives. You know, when he mentions this, he was once blind, but now he sees. Do you know that this statement itself is multifaceted? At one level, you know, it is really for every human being, every sinner to come out of darkness into the light. You know, we realize what sort of state we are in before, but now we are different. Now we have been redeemed. At another level, it is talking about the meaninglessness of your life prior to you becoming a Christian. Life was meaningless. I don't know what I'm doing. But after I have met Christ, I have meaning. Not only that, it is from hopelessness to hope. Amen. Brother Logan was teaching us physics earlier. You know, this universe will end. You know what? But life goes on in God. Amen. It is from hopelessness into hope. You know, I go to different Chinese churches. I love going to Chinese churches because Chinese churches usually have their baptism service together with their normal service. And I love hearing these people who have gotten baptized coming to the stage to give their testimony after their baptism. There was once this Chinese couple, you know, with tears in their eyes, husband and wife, they came up the stage hand in hand. And they were talking about their lives before they met Christ. They were saying, you know what, we applied to emigrate to New Zealand. At that time, our relationship was horrible. In fact, we were on the verge of divorce. And it was coming here, our plan was to come here, get our PR, and then divorce. But unfortunately, or fortunately, that didn't happen. Why? Because we met Jesus. Because we came to know Jesus. We have come to know Jesus, and we realized what sort of lives we had previously, how selfish we are, how self-centered we are, and how much of a sinner we are. But now we are different. Previously, we loved ourselves. But now the man said, I love my wife. And the wife said, I love my husband. This is the discovery that every Christian must have in their lives. Guys, if we have no change, if we are no different from the time we used to before, then something is really wrong. You know, I would put this as the first one thing that every Christian must have in their lives. It is this discovery that I once was blind, but now I see. The second one thing is David's one thing, David is somebody I love. You know, here in Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, you know, the one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. One thing. For David, there's this one thing that he wants. And I've put this as David's one desire in his life. What is your desire today? What is your desire today? When we look at David, his one desire is to seek the Lord. You know, the Chinese translation of this passage, adds another shade to it. And I went back to the original text. I think in this particular instance, maybe the Chinese translation is even better. It says, I once asked of the Lord, David said. And I continue to ask and continue to seek. You see how fervent David is? It is not just lip service. But David said, I had asked it before and I continue to ask of it. And what is it that he asked? That I may be in the temple of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. I remember many, many years ago, before I went to the mission field, I remember there were a few sessions that I spent with the young people. And one of the things we covered, that Charlie, you were so young then, you weren't even in that class, I think, because he was too young. And now he's married. With the young people, we were talking about David. And why is it that I spoke about David to that particular class? Because David, to me, is a very important character in the Bible. From young, actually, when I heard the story about David and Goliath, I wanted to be David. How many of us wanted to be want to be David? None of you. Hey, you guys are disappointing, man. I wanted to be a David until I grew up and read the Bible and I discovered that he was actually quite a horrible bloke. For those of us who know, you know, his life, we'll discover that he is indeed a horrible guy, isn't it? He took somebody's wife, had an affair with her, and decided to kill the husband. And in order to kill the husband and get away with it, he had to send Israel's troops together with Uriah to the battlefront that was fiercest, that he knew that it was the sole purpose of that fight was to make sure that Uriah died, not to gain victory over the enemies. And in the process, hundreds, if not thousands, of Israel troops died with Uriah. Now, how many of you still want to be David? But you know something? David is special. Regardless of what David did, God ultimately said that this is a man after my own heart. Who was the best king that Israel ever had? I'm going to test IBC's Bible knowledge. Who was the best king that Israel ever had? Solomon. David. Wrong. Neither. You know, it came as a surprise to me, actually. But you know, the best king in Israel was this guy called Josiah. Why? Because in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25, it says, before there was no king like him, and after there is no king like him, and that is King Josiah. And David wasn't even the best king of Israel, and yet God said, this is a man after my heart. And you know something? As I plow through the scriptures to try to get to know David better, I realize maybe the reason for that compliment is Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. David was imperfect. David was a terrible sinner. But what distinguished David from even us, who are not so terrible, is that David had a heart for God. Guys, you know, if David can be a man after God's heart, then you and I have hope. Amen? But is that our desire? Is that our desire today? What is your desire today? But for David, it's one thing. To be in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. You know, as I reflect on this verse, I ask myself, what exactly does that mean to us today? What does it mean to us to be in his house all the days of our life? I ask myself, are we excited when we wake up before we do our daily devotion? Are you excited? How many of us actually look expectantly when we wake up and we, after we've done all the other trivial things, and say, this is my time with my God. This is a time when I'm going to open up His Word, and this is a time I look expectantly to Him speaking to me. This is a time when I can talk to God. This is a time I can pour out my heart to Him and have Him talk to me through His Word. How many of us actually have that desire? And I believe David's desire was just that. How many of us look expectantly to Sundays? Not Sunday lunch. Sunday coming to church. How many of us look expectantly every Sunday to come here? Put up your hands. How many of us look expectantly on Sunday mornings to see how God is going to reveal His heart to us? How, what God is going to say to me today, what reminders, what challenges He has for me today. Where is it that my life has gone wrong that God wants to point out to me today? Guys, if we have that sort of attitude, then let me say this, we are not far from being a man after God's heart. The first one thing that you and I must have is to be able to see that once we were blind, we were hopeless, we were meaningless, but now I see, I have hope, I have meaning. The second one thing is our desire in life is our desire for God. And the third one thing, this is again, it's a curveball. Because this one thing is actually mentioned by Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse 21. And for those of you who understand what we have just read previously, you will discover this is the one thing that Jesus mentioned that this rich young ruler lacked in. The one thing he lacked. And I term this as a surrender to God, a total surrender to God. If you remember the story says that this young, rich young ruler was so proud of himself because he felt that he has obeyed all the Ten Commandments. And when he came to Jesus one night, the truth is that all he wanted was Jesus to praise him. But then ultimately Jesus said this. He said, you know what? And Jesus did it out of love. He says, but there is one thing you lack. And of course, Jesus wasn't meaning that he should sell away everything and come follow him. You know, it was what was more important behind what Jesus was saying. Are you willing to totally surrender to me today? You talk about how good you are, how well you have behaved, how you have obeyed the law. But Jesus said, are you willing to totally surrender? You know, time immemorial, Christians are struggling with this big time. I've been struggling with it. I don't know about you. We've been struggling big time with this surrender. You know, there are still areas in our lives that we want to dictate what we want to do. We tell God subconsciously that there are areas in my life that I'm not willing to let go. There are things that, you know, I still want to be boss. I still want to be Lord. I'm only willing to give you this, but not everything. You know, why are Christians so weak today? Why are we not testimonies like Jesus wanted us to be? Maybe because our lives actually do not show that we are true followers of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's because we say more than we do. Maybe there's this appearance that we put up that is actually not who we are. And the root cause of that problem is actually surrender. Amen. Trust and obey, but how difficult is that? But I like what the song says, why must we trust and obey? Because there is no other way. Can you imagine Christians professing to be a Christian, professing to be a disciple, professing to be a follower of Christ, but actually we are not? What a irony. Why? Because there is no other way. You're either all in or you're all out. Otherwise, we will be no use to God whatsoever. The fourth one thing, that is Paul's one thing. Paul says here, the one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And I press on toward a goal to win a prize, and that is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. One thing I do, Paul said. You know what this tells me of? You know what this tells me of? Paul is very clear with his vision and mission in life. There's only one thing he wants to do, and it's to forget about the past but strain forward to that particular post that God has set for him. What exactly is this mission and vision that we are talking about in Paul's life? You know, for those of us who are familiar with Paul, you will realize that Paul's whole life is about the gospel, isn't it? His whole life is about the spreading of the gospel. And that is the reason why we see that Paul's life was totally overwhelmed with the spread of the gospel near and far. You know, those of us who are familiar with Scripture, we'll discover that, you know, every now and then we hear what Paul says about his attitude towards the gospel. You know, there's one part where he says, I don't care what people are preaching the gospel for. I don't care what their motives are. Remember that part? He said, I don't care. Some may have bad motives, wrong motives, but I don't care. Why? Because so long as the gospel is preached, I think that's what God wants. Do you see his attitude? Not only that, he said, woe be to me if I do not spread the gospel. Woe to me if I do not spread the gospel. Further on, he says, I don't care who my audience is. To a Jew, I'm a Jew. To one who is not living under the law, I'm one who is not under the law. I don't care who it is, so long as the gospel is preached and some will come to salvation. And even when he was locked up, you know, when he wrote in Ephesians to the Ephesian church, he says, pray for me. But you know what his prayer request was? Not that I'm more comfortable or I'll be released from lock up, but his prayer was, whenever I open my mouth, I will speak out bravely for the gospel. Can you imagine that? Paul is such a person. And that is the reason why in Acts chapter 26, sorry, I did not give this passage, but for those of us who have our Bibles, or maybe you can, is it Chino? Okay. I still recognize him. If you can put it up, Acts chapter 26, we read from 19 to 20. Acts chapter 26, verses 19 to 20. Verse 19 says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting repentance. You know, when Paul was talking to King Agrippa, he was already almost at the end of his life. It was just a few more years before, you know, he was beheaded. But he was already having to defend himself. But what did he say? He said boldly, I have not forgotten about the vision. He says here, I have not been disobedient to the vision that God gave me. What is the vision that God is giving to us as individuals and as a church today? What is this vision that you and I are receiving from God. This vision is so important because the vision determines our mission. And the mission decides our strategy. And the strategy decides our plans. What are we going to do this year for the Lord? You know, this is not only for individuals. This is also for us as a church. How are we doing? How are we doing? You know, I move around in a lot of Kiwi churches as well. And there's this darkness in some of these churches. Why? Because I believe the church has forgotten what it is here for. You know, in some of these places, I have a sharing asking all of us to think, number one, what is church? And the second, equally important question of church is, the first one is, what is? The second is, why church? You know, today, if all of us are not sure why we need to be here, or why we are coming every Sunday, or why we are doing what we are doing, then I'm telling you guys, let's not waste time. There are better things to do outside. Today, unless we are able to answer these two questions, what is church and why church? Otherwise, this will only be a social community club, a club that we are comfortable to come to, a place where, you know, out of habits, we are here every Sunday. But if you ask the question further, you will find that, I don't know what I'm here for. I enjoy Chandra's music. I enjoy Pastor Ken's preaching. But what on earth am I here for? If we are not clear on that, guys, then we are the saddest people. Do you know something? I think we will be the saddest people on earth. At least those people outside are having fun. Trust me, if you are neither in nor you are out, you are not having fun. You are struggling big time. You know, young people can identify with what I'm saying. Big time. What am I doing here, wasting my time? I come here out of habit. You know, COVID-19 has done something to the church, and I think it's brilliant. It is sad and yet brilliant. Because once the church has gone into Zoom and not assembled regularly, everything is over Zoom. People have gotten into another habit. And the habit is, I don't have to come to church anymore. Okay? I can just get onto Zoom in my pajamas. There's a reason why when it's over Zoom, you hardly see people showing their faces, right? You know why? They're having their breakfast whilst the worship is going on. They are doing 1,001 other things when the service is going on. And when they have gotten out of this habit of coming to church, when COVID-19 is over, we will see that these people will not come back to church anymore. Why? Because I can do it over Zoom, I can do it over YouTube, and you know what? The honest truth is that Pastor Ken's preaching is not that great anyway. You know what? He's my good friend, so I... We share the same birthday, you know? So we have a special affinity. Is it 11 years apart? Not so great. Actually, it's quite good. But it's not so great. There are other greater speakers on YouTube, isn't it? I just need to tune into YouTube anytime. But it is, you know, the whole purpose of it is for my pleasure. It's for my own satisfaction. But if that is the Christian life that we are having, then we have missed the point. Why church? What is church? I think all of us got to ask ourselves that question today. Paul's vision and mission is clear. That is why Paul's life is focused. You know something? If all of us are honest today, I think very few of our lives are truly focused. If we are honest today, I think we are all in the wilderness. We are all going round and round in circles. But you know why I sound so harsh? I'm harsh every time when I'm here. Yeah, Jillian agrees. She's nodding her head. You know why I'm harsh? Because this is my church. You know why I'm harsh? Because time is ticking by very quickly. Night is coming. And nobody will be able to work anymore. If we are still not awake to the fact that we are living in the end times, then I do not know what is going to wake us up. When petrol prices reaches $4, there will be riots in the world, where the government will lose control. But all this is described in Revelation, isn't it? These are the signs of the end times. What is our focus? For young people, what is our focus? For middle-aged people, what is our focus? For retirees, what is our focus? I do not know how we have been before. But Paul said, I will forget what is behind me, but I will push on ahead. Let's forget about what we have been, how we have been before. Let's focus. Let's move ahead. Amen. My prayer for IBC and my prayer for all the brothers and sisters here is that we will be different. We will be focused. Why? Because we truly understand God's heart. We truly understand God's purpose in our lives. Nabil Qureshi is somebody that I refer to a lot. And today is no exception. I will talk about Nabil Qureshi as well. I think I must have mentioned Nabil Qureshi before. Nabil Qureshi is, from his name, you'll know that he's a Pakistani Muslim. He used to be an Islamic apologetic. He argued during university with his Christian friend, defending Islam, whilst his Christian friend defends Christianity. But to cut the long story short, after 4 years, he became a Christian. And he wrote a very famous book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. For those of us who have not read that, please read it. But there's something else that we do not know about Nabil Qureshi. Nabil Qureshi was actually trained as a doctor, but upon his graduation, he said, nope, this is not what I want to do with my life, because there's something even more important. I want to be living for the spread of the gospel, especially amongst my Muslim friends. What a wonderful testimony. But in 2016, Nabil Qureshi found out that he had severe chronic stomach cancer. Nabil Qureshi passed away in 2017. And Nabil Qureshi was only 34 years old. He prayed during his suffering that God will heal him. He continued to serve God faithfully. But ultimately, his prayer was, God, your will be done. He continued to minister whenever he had the opportunity, notwithstanding the fact that he was undergoing chemotherapy and all sorts of treatment. And lo and behold, one day he remembered and saw in his diary that he has promised his alma mater, the university that he came from, that he was going to speak to the graduation class. And the university contacted him, knowing his situation and condition, saying that, you know what, maybe it's not such a good idea. Maybe, you know, you really would not be up to it. But Nabil Qureshi said, no, I want to be there. Why? Because Nabil Qureshi realized that maybe he could not do the work anymore. But you know what? Those who are graduating will be able to continue that work. And he was in pain, he was suffering, and he went back to his university, and the one message he had for all this graduating class was, know your purpose in your life. Know your purpose. And once you know that purpose, continue to move ahead, strive for it, put in effort, because that is the only thing that is meaningful in your life. Nabil Qureshi, even when he was dying, had one message. This is what we are here for. Let us pray. Father, I just ask that as we quieten our hearts before you this morning, as words stop to be spoken, Father, we will hear your voice. Father, we will reflect on our lives and look at what these four people have said, starting from the blind man all the way to Paul saying that he'll push ahead with his purpose. Father, in this day and age, when the world is full of uncertainty, when you have told us the church has become neither hot nor cold, Father, I pray that this morning's message will truly speak into our hearts. Where are we now? What are we doing? Do we have aspirations like these four people? Are we truly seeing that we now can see and we can see clearly? Is our desire truly to be dwelling in your house forever? Are we willing to surrender ourselves totally to you? And are we willing to push ahead? Push ahead to the goal of having your good news spread far and wide. Father, you love us, and you want us to share this love with people near and far. Father, may we all be different this morning as we leave this place. May we be reminded once again, what are we here for? And what is church? And why church? Father, we thank you for this time that we have. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now it's on. Got it. So thank you for the message, Brother Casey. We appreciate that. If you're watching us online, having your coffee, in your pajamas, we just love you and miss you. We hope to see you back. Just a few announcements this morning. Let's see. We're having our 9 o'clock worships, 9 o'clock Sunday school time. Last week we made this announcement, and maybe I got a little bit wrong, but at 9 o'clock, the white doors that go into the kitchen is going to be the barrier. Well, boy, that sounds horrible as well. That's going to be the doors that separates the back children's church from here. So if you're going into the children's church, your entry is through the gate to the side. And then, of course, for the Sunday school time in here and the worship service in time here, use the front door. So we're going to keep that for the next few weeks. Also, at 10 o'clock, the worship service, if you don't have the Vax Pass and you want to come and join us, and we hope that you can, then we have the kitchen area set up with TV. And in the TV, you'll be seeing the service in here just as we have it here. So that'll be from now until, well, the next few weeks, until anything that we can change, that we will change at that time. I think that's all of the announcements. Wait, there's a few things. Nope. Anything else on the announcements? I didn't have my bulletin up here with me. Life groups, we mentioned this last week as well. If you are a part of the life groups, see your life group leader about the meeting schedule. I know some are already meeting regularly, some every couple of weeks or so. Just see your life group about that. And then also you can see the information that we have up here, that the letters for tax purposes and all, that's going to be mailed out not too long down the road. So if we don't have your contact details, we need those contact details updated if you've changed anything, so you can see that you can email us at office@IBCChurch, and that way we'll have all your up-to-date information. And then once the appropriate time, everything's been taken care of by the office, then that'll be mailed out to you. I think that's all of the announcements. Is there anything else? Nope, nothing else. Happy birthday for those of you who are celebrating a birthday this week. Do we have anyone who has a birthday coming up in this week? Any birthdays? Any birthdays? Nope. How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone with wedding anniversary? Nope. No birthdays? No wedding anniversary? All right, well, I'm going to ask Pastor Ken to come, and he's going to dismiss us in a time of prayer.
Stand with me, please. Brother Casey, I really appreciated that. God knows I needed to hear the word today, so thank you for sharing with us. And Christina, and your guests that came, I appreciate you coming, being part of our service today as well. God bless you in your ministry as well. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, thank you for the challenge that we've had today, Lord. And I do pray that again we would anew ask ourselves, what is the church? Why are we here? And may we leave this place with a greater earnest desire, commitment to be the church, to do our work and our mission wherever you have placed us as we go about our life this week. May we be a testimony. May we be an example. May we point people to Jesus. May he be foremost in our minds and hearts. And may we, Lord, desire to return into your house as soon as we can, to grow, to minister to each other, to worship as brothers and sisters, one with another. Thank you, Father, for the work, the words of Brother Casey this morning. And I pray that you would bless his ministry and bless his work as he and Christina encourage and challenge and mobilize, especially our Asian churches around the country. Pray that you would bless their effort, bless their labor, Lord. Bless them. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Enjoy some fellowship with each other before you head out.